The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Me, that's on video. I've never been happier. I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
Hi, everybody. This is UFC Unfiltered. Matt and I are having our last show of the year. It's been
best
a kind
of
a
year. Oh, I'm sorry.
What, buddy?
Best of the year, part two.
Did part two, yes. It? Last, we had Adam Ray and Megan Levy last time, both really fun. And I'm wearing the same shirt for consistency, and my head is still fat. I haven't lost any weight in the last few days. And hopefully this episode, we're going to have the great Dean Thomas and also Brendan Fitzgerald on talking about knockout of the year. And also another fun one is a fight of the year. A couple of really, really good, interesting topics. So.
Very exciting.
Very, very exciting. Yeah. I can't believe Glover. I had to last week. I had to mention Glover. I mean, I can't believe he didn't make the list. That really hurt my feelings.
Yeah. Well, listen, me and you, we had to, we made up for that by choosing him as the moment.
Yeah.
Jimmy, what are you doing for the holidays?
I was just going to ask you the same thing.
You know, I'm not. Christmas Day is very laxed by me. I'm just chillaxing. We don't do much. You know, maybe, Sissy, yeah. And then Edwin comes over, my brother-in-law, my sister-in-law. And, you know, it's laid back. But the night before is when Christmas Eve, we go to my Aunt Marielle's, my wife's aunt, and they have the big, you know, they do the fish thing. I don't eat fish.
You don't like fish?
No, I hate it. Anything fish-wise, I'll throw that on the floor. But I do like pasta.
Okay.
I like some pizza. So I'm sure they'll have something there for me.
Wow, no fish. I love fish. I love a grilled fish.
I don't like any fish, Jimmy. I don't like the smell of fish. I don't like any.
You don't like sushi?
No, my wife likes that stuff in my firstborn. I'm like, yo, me and my middle child, they're like, don't even sit near us.
I understand. Yeah, it's an acquired taste. Believe it or not, Rich Voss, of all the awful people I could have mentioned, Rich Voss got me into sushi, which you would never think that a man like Rich Voss would open your palate to anything but bile. But yeah.
You know, listen, I remember I was in Japan with Henzo, and he was eating something that was like literally moving and like winking at him. I go, yeah, I don't fuck it. I'm not into that. But you know what I am into, Jimmy?
What, buddy?
Ready? Good. You want to do my movie minute?
Matt's final movie minute of the year.
It's me.
Oh, no. Oh, Brendan's ready.
Well, Brendan's going to have to wait. You know, let's get him in and let's ask him if he's seen Spider-Man. No Way Home.
I saw that. Let's bring in Brendan Fitzgerald.
You seen it?
Yes. Great. Great wait job. Brendan does. Yes.
You did not see it. You seen the new Spider-Man movie?
I'd love to talk about it, but Brendan came in. I'll give you.
Did I save you, Jim?
Yes, you did, because I got caught lying. I didn't see the new Spider-Man. I was lying.
Well, either did Brendan. Brendan, you didn't see that movie, right?
No, I haven't. I'm not a movie theater guy. That's a $15 nap or whatever it costs to go into one of those things anymore.
I'm scared of bed bugs, like in a movie theater, because I've heard the cases of people getting bed bugs. It just freaks me out to go to a theater now.
But did you really hear a case of somebody getting it, or you read it somewhere?
I've read it in the paper.
A buddy of yours ever come back, oh, these bed bugs at the AMC?
No,
it doesn't happen.
Maybe not.
I don't mean to get attack you in front of Brendan. Brendan, I'm sorry. Let's start again. Brendan, good to see you again, man.
It's good to see you, Matt. How are you?
Last time I seen you, I was in a park with roller coasters and whatnot.
Where was that?
Wait, no, that wasn't you.
No, it wasn't me.
Who the fuck was that? John Gooden.
Oh, Matt.
It's another tall, lanky white guy. I don't fucking know. You guys all look the same to me.
I rarely run into Matt anymore, but we were in Abu Dhabi at the same time. That was a
feat. That's what it was. Jimmy, I'm way off.
Yeah.
Jimmy, this is the thing. Brendan, we had John Gooden, who looks nothing like you, actually.
No, we're tall, you know.
You all tall, lanky white men. He was a co-host. And then I just realized your hair looks nothing like each other. No, you guys don't really look
his
like
is a little longer. Yeah, he's got a little more.
All right, now listen, this is all going to get cut out anyway.
Oh, no, it's not. No, it's not. No,
Jimmy's going to make sure it stays in. Listen, I'm so glad you're here. Not to talk about Spider-Man No Way Home, which I will talk about later.
Right, okay.
I don't want the audience to tune out because they think I'm not going to talk about it. I will. But we're here to talk about Fighter of the... No, wait, what are we talking about, Jimmy?
Well, we have a couple of things left. This is our last show of the year.
Okay.
We got Fight of the Year with Dean. And with you, we're going to talk about what do you think Knockout of the Year was. You probably, from memory, know it. Here's a couple of options.
Right. No, yeah.
Have they given you the options? Yuri Prochazka against Dominic Reyes.
Right.
Ngannou Stipe, of course. Sanhagen Edgar. Ooh, Oliveira Chandler, Poirier Connor 2, Namajunas, Zhang Weili, Burgos against Barboza, that little stagger back, Usman Masvidal, Barnett, John Volante, or Joaquin Buckley against Kasangane.
Right. So Joaquin Buckley against Kasangane was 2020. That was like, that was Fight Island. Now, that is the correct answer for whatever year it was in. So I'm going to let that be the knockout of the year for 2020. Because
that's
was
on
before.
Our list. That's our producers actually put that on our list.
Was it in January?
I hope.
Was it in January in Abu Dhabi? I thought it was the year before.
Myself and Jimmy both secretly, not even secretly, we just hope you're right.
Because I have a decent memory, but not.
You don't do the legwork now, Brendan. Guys, do the legwork for us. And look up your mistake.
That's the right answer if it's in this year, but I could have sworn that was 2020.
Which one are you saying?
Joaquin Buckley, the spinning back kick on.
It was October 2020.
That's right. Okay.
Thank you very much for doing the job our producers do not do. Thank you very much.
Well, when I saw it on the list, because the Fighters Only Awards, they were including that because of COVID, a lot of stuff got just pushed back and it was like the year and a half end awards, I feel like, for some of those categories. But okay, I am biased on knockout calls because I get to call some of them. So like when I had the headset on, obviously I remember a lot of those. And then those title fight knockouts, obviously those, I don't want to say they mean more, but there's obviously more to Rose Namajunas knocking out Zhang Weili to get the belt back. But for me, it's between Corey Sandhagen's flying knee against Frankie Edgar and Yuri Prochazka's spinning back elbow against Dominic Reyes. My criteria is like the most creative kind of jaw-dropping, jump off the couch, hands to the head type of reaction from a knockout. And I called both of those. So again, I said that I'm biased and I am, but I think it took me longer to catch my breath after Corey Sandhagen's flying knee on Frankie Edgar. I'm giving that my knockout of the year. Just a walk-off, clean, flying knee. He didn't even break stride. He just kind of looked back like a badass and was just like, yep, it's over. And gosh, man, that was there was like a stark silence in the UFC Apex because fans weren't there yet. It was just kind of the people, the crew, the commission. And it was like this, holy smokes, what did we just see? So that's what I'll give you.
I'm going to take another great one our producer suggested. Anderson Silva knocking out Forrest Griffin. I'm going to take
Yes. That was a good one. That was a good one.
Jimmy, they're batting a thousand so far.
They did it to us on the last episode, too. Just another one that happened 8 years ago.
Right.
You know, you don't think to read over every single one and check the dates, but I guess I have to.
Well, and that, this day and age, every year does. I mean, 2020 and 2021 seemed like one giant, you know, crap year.
Yeah. No. They do, unless you're doing research and there's a year in front of it, in which case it doesn't.
I'm trying to help them out as best I can.
No, no, no. Trust me. I've tried it too many. Anyway, Matt, who do you pick? What do you think?
I'm going to tell you who I pick. And I pick Dustin Poirier knocking out Conor McGregor in their second fight. That's who I pick. Because, listen, you got to think, man, when they first – I mean, the first fight, how that went down. And, you know, Conor's been looking like a, you know, a savage since. There was nothing indicating why this fight should be different. You know, it's not like Conor was fighting and looking less accurate. Who do you finish right before that? Cowboy Cerrone, I think. I believe that's who did him with the shoulder. Busted over the shoulder, head kicked him. So he's looking, you know, yeah, that was
good. Yeah, that was January 2020, and then he came back January 21, and Poirier got
him. So, you know, I mean, for Dustin to come in there and you know, fight a guy that KO'd him, and to do it in the fashion he did, had to take some shots, and started hitting him back and pointing at him, look, I can box too. That was fun. That was a great moment, man. So, I don't know. I give it to Dustin Poirier.
I'm going to take Rose over Zhang Weili. I thought that was the most shocking one. I wasn't shocked that Rose won, but Weili had looked so dangerous standing up. And you know how it is when you really like a fighter, like you start to get nervous for them when they're fighting certain people. And I was watching that. I was like, oh, fuck. Like, I hated that fight because I like Rose so much. And I was very worried about Wiley's power and just how devastating she is standing up. So that for me is the most impressive knockout. I was shocked that she won that way. I wasn't shocked she won, but I was shocked that she knocked her out in the first round.
That looked like a simulation. That was like they were standing up, and the way that Zhang Weili fell after that head kick, didn't look overly powerful. It was just like, what just happened? That was a good one. That was, man, that was a moment.
Yeah, for me, it was a shot. I mean, you know, Francis, you know,
for a belt
winning
too.
The title,
you know,
is amazing.
So early in the fight, like so much on the line, just incredible.
And that was a battle that she had with
Andrade.
No, Joanna Jędrzejczyk. Weili.
Are you talking about Rose or Weili?
No, I'm talking about Weili had a battle. They had a battle, her and Joanna.
Yeah. That's the last event with fans before
and
the
so then,
pandemic.
Then next thing you know, she's fighting Rose, and you're thinking, man, look at the battle she had with Joanna. So you're thinking this is going to be a fucking war. And then like the first kick she throws or whatever, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
One of those things.
It was shocking. She was an underdog too. As was Poirier. Poirier was a big underdog in that fight with Conor that first time around.
Oh, 100%.
He was like plus 200 or something, and you know, just stomped him out.
That was something else, man.
It's so hard to pick like moment of the year or this or the, because there's just so many, especially in the last, I mean, every weekend we had fights. I mean, there was so many incredible fights in the last 2 years since the pandemic. It seems like UFC was busier in the pandemic than they were before the pandemic.
Certainly busier than the other pro sports, especially in 2020 when we came back. We did 41 events, I think, in 2020, which is like one shy of what we wanted to get, which is incredible considering we had, I think, a full 6 weeks off. But I mean, and then just think of the back half of 21. Like since, I mean, July was when Conor fought Dustin again in the third one. But like in September, you had Volkanovski and Ortega. In October, you had Glover Teixeira in Abu Dhabi. Then you had New York City. Then you had, Oliveira and Poirier, that card that just went down. Like the cards that have been delivering on the back half of this year, like none other for a certain stretch to have just like incredible action consecutive weeks in a row. It's just been an on fire.
Yeah, and I was happy for Derek Lewis too. I mean, it was really nice to see that. Again, I didn't have him picked. I think we both picked Dawkins, but I mean, I was happy for him when he won it, even though I picked, every time I pick against Derek, he wins too. I'm such a stupid asshole. I don't know why I would ever pick against Derek Lewis. Because again, against Curtis Blaydes, we talked about that last time out. He didn't look great in that fight until he threw that punch.
Yeah. That could also be like a knockout of the year candidate in terms of he was a big underdog and like wasn't really doing much and then just lands an uppercut from hell. That gave him, I think, most knockouts of all time. That tied him. And then he finishes the year by setting the record on his own with another first round knockout. But yeah, it was cool to hear how candid he was this past week. Like, yeah, the pressure in Houston was getting to me. It was it was really important. And it was the day that I got out of prison, August 7th, 13 years before and stuff. You don't often get that from Derek. So for him to, you know, a lot of people, I think, just forget that he's a real human being. And then, you know, to go out and have that result was something else.
And you must love, how many fights do you call a year? And do you ever get to, do they just say, hey, Brandon, we need you for this one? Or do you ever get to request one like that card? I would just love to call that. Or how does that work for you?
I mean, when there's locations involved, sometimes I'll lobby. If I'm just like, hey, wouldn't mind going to Prague. Always wanted to go to Prague, you know, or something like that, you know, just, but I don't request stuff. It's just how the schedule falls. And nowadays it's, every event that I called this year was at the Apex. So there was no travel involved for me. And it was just, here's the schedule and on we go. Sometimes I get, you know, it's just on how the fights fall. Like Max Holloway was supposed to fight Yair Rodriguez in July. And I actually wasn't supposed to call that fight. And then it gets pushed back or whenever that got pushed back to. And then it kind of falls on my calendar with the event that I was connected to. And same with Corey Sandhagen and TJ Dillashaw. That was another big fight I got to call this year that was like, push back. I wasn't going to call it. Now I'm calling it. It's just how the schedule kind of falls.
And Holloway has looked so good. When was it that Michael Bisping was like, you look tired, man. You know, you look like a little, when was that? That was maybe two and a half years ago, three years ago?
2018. Yeah, it was 2018. July of 2018, he was supposed to fight Brian Ortega. And that was going to be the co-main event International Fight Week. That's the event that DC beat Stipe. I believe that was the event that DC beat Stipe, and they were supposed to be the co-main event there. That fight then gets pushed back to Toronto, and then Max looked great. Max beat Brian Ortega in December of that year. But yeah, man, he was on fire in 2021. People won. They're not going to call him Fighter of the Year because he didn't win a belt. He didn't defend his belt or anything like that. But between what he did against Calvin Kattar and what he did against Yair Rodriguez, that guy is still on top of his game.
When did he stop sparring? Or when did he say he was sparring less? Was that before the after Ortega was he had lost 3 out of 4? Was he not sparring then? Or when did he say, I kind of am not doing any sparring?
I want to say it was before the Kattar fight. I think it was before the Kattar fight in January. So like, and, you know, mid 2020.
So it is recent. He's had 2 wins since then. He hasn't. Okay. Cause it seems like it's really helped him a lot.
Yeah. Kind of like the new camp. It just depends, man. And then we talk to other fighters and they're like, I wasn't sparring enough. I needed to like understand what it's like to be in there. It depends on, I think, where you are in your career, what you've accomplished. Obviously Max has been in there a bunch of times. He doesn't need to get in a fight to prove that he can fight.
What's the hardest part of announcing for you? Because I'm really in awe of what you guys do. Like the ability for three people to call, to predict, anticipate what guys are doing, describe a really, really complicated positions, anticipating complicated positions. I think it's the hardest sport to call. Whereas soccer, it's like he's running up the field. He kicks the ball. You know, it's just such a different world.
I think in our role, to not get into the complicated positions, right? Like if Matt was calling fights with me and they go to the ground, what am I going to say? You know what I mean? Like I might give some backstory if this guy was a jiu-jitsu world champion, that sort of thing. But in terms of walking through the positions, that's where I lean on the analysts who, you know, they've been in the training rooms for a long, long time. They know kind of what a guy needs to do. And then they can kind of walk the viewers through what they need to do. So the analysis is, you know, left to the other guys. It's our job as a play-by-play announcer to set up the moment, give the backstory, give what's most important to the fighter, what's happening in their lives, and then to, you know, put the stamp on the moment. If there's a big knockout, if there's a big submission, you know, staying composed in the moment. And it's a heck of a lot of fun. You just got to channel the energy the right way.
So if it's you, Felder, and Bisping, you would be considered the play-by-play and they're both considered analysts, or how does that work?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm the play-by-play. I'd be like the host, if you will.
Right.
And then they're the analysts. So it's their job to kind of add the expertise and, you know, come at it with the voice of the fighter. You know, what it's like, whether it's a weight cut, whether it's training, whether it's getting ready for a fight, whether it's dealing with family life in addition to training camp or whatever these fighters are going through. Obviously, Paul and Michael have their unique experiences and their accomplishments that they can lean on, but it's all in terms of how better to describe it to the fans so that they can better understand it. And then, you know, play by play is what's happening and, you know, what it means, put it in context, you know, before, during, and after.
What about your podcast, Fitz Nation? And life lessons from the UFC.
Hey,
what
man.
What life lessons are we learning on here? What do we got?
So I need to talk to you, Matt, and get you on the podcast to learn your life lessons.
Oh, Jimmy.
So, you know, it's a one-on-one interview with somebody in the world of MMA. And I, you know, it's a long form interview. There's a lot of different formats for shows and podcasts and stuff like that. And I said, not a lot of people are sitting down with one fighter and talking about their journey, what they've learned, their fights, the inside stories. And, you know, it's turned into like a personal development kind of thing too, because, you know, like Matt, like if you live the life of a martial artist, you got to do a lot of things right too in your life. Like it's about, it leads to a lot of good habits. And I think those good habits are things that people can take away and put into their own lives. So it's kind of become a little bit of that, but it's also just, you know, telling the story of where you came from, what your journey is. Like Matt, you had that high school teacher tell you you're never going to amount to anything.
You remember that, don't you?
Your speech from the Hall of Fame. But you built a pretty nice life for yourself. And a lot of people can learn from that, even though you joke around and, you know, self-deprecating and all that. But we have real conversations on the show and it's good.
And Matt told me the same thing, actually, that I was never going to amount to anything. So Matt just kind of passed it on.
I mean, stand-up comedians can have those, too. I had Adam Hunter on the show. And, you know, takes a lot of trial and error. It takes a lot of battling through stuff, Jim.
Right. Yeah, I love Adam too. He's a really funny dude. He's really found a great place doing MMA stuff, and he's a funny guy. I'm very happy for him. Yeah, being a comic, every comedian's a comedian because we can't fight. Like that's pretty, with the exception of like Rogan and one or two other guys.
Right.
I mean, I would much rather have a left hook than than be able to do punchlines.
Yeah, but if you can outwit somebody and make them, you know, feel like put them in their place a little bit.
Guys, what the fuck happened with Chael Sonnen this weekend?
I don't know. I didn't even see the news yet.
What do you mean?
Jimmy, what?
What do you mean?
Is domestic something?
Jimmy, what? You better look that up, man. We're groundbreaking news network here for the MMA stuff.
I know.
But look that up, Jimmy. Come on, man.
Wow.
I don't know. All I know is John Jones gets on Twitter and is like, look, I'm not a type. Like, if I was like you, I'd be, you know, happy he got in trouble. Now, basically, he's doing what he's saying he's not doing by saying that he wouldn't do it. So he's saying, if I was like you, I would be celebrating right now that, but I'm not going to because I'm not like you. But meanwhile, he's clearly gloating that the guy's in trouble. I don't know what happened, but I hope he's okay.
Well, you're saying five different, but not, you say domestic. It wasn't at home. It was in a casino.
Yeah, okay. In a hotel and something happened. I didn't say domestic. What are you talking about?
Oh, I thought you did. Okay.
No, I said domestic because I didn't know. I didn't get the headlines at all. Okay. So apparently got in a big fight at a casino.
Okay.
Listen, shit happens. I hope he's okay, though.
I do, too. I love Chael. It's funny, but even like, who did we talk to one time? Oh, my God. He had like, he fought like five guys in a club one time. He's five bouncers had to go to the hospital.
Uriah Faber.
It wasn't Uriah, but he does have a great fight story, I think, from Indonesia.
That's why I brought that up.
Was it Uriah?
I don't think it was, but it might have been. Because he did have a fight story like that, you know? They always try to fuck with the little guy.
I guess they do, right?
You're not going to see a tall glass of water like Brendan Fitzgerald and look the fuck with him, right, Jimmy? They see you.
Even though they'd be much better off doing that.
Alistair Overeem. It was Overeem who had talked about getting to a scuffle with some bouncer. And you're like, what's happening in your life when you're fucking with somebody and you realize, oh, that guy's an MMA fighter. Like, what a bad decision you've made.
And it's not like Overeem doesn't look the part. It's one thing if you pick on Ryan Hall and you find yourself, waking up. But why would you even touch Overeem?
Overeem looks like a fucking James Bond villain.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. You give that guy an eye patch or something. Fuck, I don't know. He's got the big scar on his face.
Yeah,
gentlemen. What are you doing for the holiday, Brendan?
Hanging around here, family coming to town a little bit. Just, you know, keeping it simple. Christmas at home. The boy is 6 and a half. So it's, you know, prime years of fun times, waiting for Santa, making cookies, all that good stuff. Unplugging from the machine for a few weeks, which is nice so that we recharge and ready to hit it hard next year.
Yeah. Will you watch a lot of stuff, fights or anything, or do you just kind of give your brain a chance to just go, you know what? Nothing MMA right now.
I mean, I won't watch any fights right now because I'm calling the first event of the year in January 15th. So it's, I mean, it is truly like the off season for the UFC. It wasn't like this before. We used to have that event, you know, New Year's weekend.
Right.
And I think when it switched to ESPN, it changes because, you know, college football playoff is around New Year's. So they want to steer all the viewers and sports fans to the big college football games, the bowl games and that sort of stuff. So it's kind of nice with the ESPN deal. Like we haven't had events on Thanksgiving weekend. We haven't had events on New Year's and Christmas has been off and stuff like that. So we get to just have our mini off season of 3 weekends with no fights and enjoy the time with our families. And then it'll get busy again next year. No doubt about it.
Shows you, I had no idea why. I never made a connection with ESPN as to why the schedule might've changed. Okay. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah, different properties. You know what I mean? Different properties, different sports that they show and busy times of the year. So,
well, Brandon, you're a great announcer. And I appreciate you coming on. And oh, wait, did we? Oh, we already did. Yeah, knockout of the year. I'm all over the place today. I don't have my glasses on.
It's the last day of school. You know what I mean? Last show for you guys. Like, get it out there and then you guys enjoy.
But have a great holiday. We'll definitely talk to you again next year. We'd love to have you. I think it's been almost a year since you were on. So, you know, hopefully it won't be that long next time. I know you're busy, but we'd love to have you on more often. Always fun having you.
Yeah, always a pleasure to talk to you, Jim and Matt. And happy holidays to you guys. And all the best. Can't wait to come
you
back
too, buddy
home.
And you're great on the air too. You're great with calling fights.
I appreciate that.
Talk to you soon, man. Take care of yourself.
Right. Happy holidays.
You, be you good too. Buddy.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
All right, man. This is good. It's just fun.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's a fun little holiday episode.
It is. Yeah. We have Dean Thomas.
The weather outside is frightful. All right. Jimmy, I don't know where that gets you.
Sorry. My thing shut off. Well,
listen, Jimmy, it's Christmas time.
It is. Yeah.
You know, it really is. Oh, my goodness.
What, buddy?
Christmas is coming early. We got Mr. Dean Thomas coming on.
Is he in yet?
I don't know. But all right, listen.
Saw it on the prep sheet.
Yeah, I just
was probably 2018. He probably is coming out in 2018.
It is amazing, though. I like it. I like that they're messing up. Jimmy, Spider-Man, No Way Home. I'm sitting here thinking that you've seen it because you made a joke.
No, I heard it was good, though.
Now, should I do spoilers? Because people.
You can if you want. I don't care.
All right, now I'm going to do spoilers because it's been out for over a week now.
Yes. I have a question for you.
Yes.
Is Dr. Octopus in it?
Yes.
I love Alfred Molina.
Doc Ock is in it.
Good.
Very good. So William Dafoe is in it.
Ah.
And also, this is going to be a big spoiler, but listen, people kind of got the idea.
He dies.
Well, listen.
He gets married.
Now you just jump in the gun. Yes. Now listen, I'm giving you spoilers for Spider-Man No Way Home in 3, 2, 1. Okay, I'm going to say 3, 2, 1.
Sure, that's fair.
3, 2, 1. Spoilers for the new Spider-Man movie. Okay.
Yeah.
Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire is in it. Isn't that great, Jimmy, that they got the two Jimmy?
How is that a spoiler?
What?
How it's called? Isn't it like a multiverse? They're all Spider-Men running around, zapping each other and shit.
Yeah, no. Well, I'll tell you, there is some moments when they're like, "Wait a minute!" They're looking at Tobey Maguire like, "Where's your web shooters?" He's like, "What do you mean? I make it myself." They're like, "Oh, you know, like how do you do that? How does that happen?" And then one of them asked him, "Does it come out anywhere else?" In other words, does a dick shoot out?
Yeah.
I don't know why that guy would ask that fucking weird shit.
Nah, he's just anyway, a little fan service.
Listen, I didn't know. I'm trying to think if what I still, and it worked. I enjoyed it.
Yep.
But would it work if I didn't see those other Spider-Man movies with Tobey Maguire?
Right. Would it matter to you?
I'm trying to think if it would or not. There would still be other Spider-Mans and they kind of explain what they're doing. And they give a little backstory in this story sure. about people they lost, whether it's Gwen Stacy or Uncle Ben, but
where's Gwen Stacy?
Gwen Stacy. You don't know who Gwen Stacy is?
No, where is she? What happened to her?
That was Andrew Garfield's. Like, that was this Amazing Spider-Man with Andrew Garfield. That was his. Like, basically his.
She die?
Yes.
Ah.
She died, Jimmy.
R.I.P. Gwen.
And it was so. And know what I like about this one? There was a part in this, and it was very emotional. There's a couple more. It got a little dusty in there. I'm not saying. Some people who ever passed away, but it was definitely a little. I'm glad my glasses were on. I don't want my daughters. It was me, my wife, my kids, and Uncle Ed. Yeah, he loves it too. Okay. So we're in there. We got the glasses on watching it because it was 3D. And I'm telling you, it got a little dusty in there in certain parts, a little emotional. Okay.
Oh.
So be prepared to, even you with your little black heart. You might, I'm telling you, Jimmy, might melt it. Might melt
I
it.
Think I know what happens.
No, you don't think
there's so. A moment where the city lays out behind him and Spider-Man turns around and says, my job is to look after those little insects with my web. Is that it?
Not it at all. Listen to me. It's a
moment. I know what it is.
No, stop guessing. What? What is it? You don't even know.
Matt, I know what it is. Spider-Man what? Meets a girl and he says, sure, I may climb buildings, but you've climbed my heart.
First of all,
is that good?
Oh, second of all, boo. Listen to me. He tried to save Gwen Stacy. We got thrown off a fucking building or something. But and he shot her with a web and then he like held it, but I think a neck snap. Something it was crazy and it was very emotional and I didn't like that movie because it was a downer because then you know she died and I thought Jamie Foxx was corny in it even though he's cool in this one but
he plays Ray Charles. Why is he in it?
No, listen, he doesn't play.
Hit Ray the Charles. Road, Gwen.
No. He does not play Ray Charles. Oh, okay. He plays Electro. Okay, and he's very cool in this one, unlike the other one when he was kind of weird and geeky.
Who's Electro?
Electro was
Breaking Two.
Listen. Oh. So in this one,
yes. Sorry,
MJ, Tom Holland's MJ of this movie.
Oh wow!
Listen to me.
Oh, not that MJ.
Wait, what?
MJ.
MJ.
Okay.
Mary.
He passed. Oh, sorry. I'm thinking Michael Jackson.
No, it's not Michael Jackson. It's Peter Parker's girlfriend, Tom Holland's girlfriend, Spider-Man's girlfriend. She gets thrown off the building, and Tom Holland goes to save his girlfriend. The Green Goblin's fucking scooter thing gets in front of him. He can't do it. Jimmy, stop it. So Andrew Garfield, listen, spoilers. He jumped to save her. Deja vu. This is what happened to him in his universe with Gwen Stacy.
Right.
And he failed to save her.
That's right.
He learned from his mistakes and he did a boom, boom. And he got underneath and he saved her. And then when he's like, oh, this is a little emotional. I don't want to get emotional.
You won't.
But he's like, are you okay? And he said this in this universe. He wasn't able to save his girlfriend.
Winston, right.
Love of his life. He wasn't able to save. Though Jimmy, stop smirking at this.
I'm not.
This is very emotional.
Sure.
In his universe, he wasn't able to save his girlfriend.
Right.
But in this universe, Peter Parker, Tom Holland's girlfriend, MJ, he did save her. And it was similar circumstances. So when he catches her, he's like, are you okay? She's like, yes. And she saw him and he was very emotional. Just don't get me emotional.
Why was he emotional?
Listen to me. He was almost crying. Like he was like, oh, he's like, she's like, are you okay? And he's like, yeah, I'm okay. But he was like, basically like, you're mean. Oh, you're a fucking mean bird. Look at me now. I'm crying really because you're a mean guy. You're a mean individual.
No, he saves her. He couldn't save his own girl, but he saves her.
He couldn't save her, but he saved her. He didn't say that, but you saw it on his face.
Great. And did he fuck her? Did he fuck his friend's girlfriend? It'd be great. She took him into the took him into a warehouse and blew him. Cucked out the other Spider-Man.
Oh, fuck, Jimmy. So anyway, it was very emotional. And it actually, I never really liked Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man. But I'll tell you right now, I like him the best in this movie.
Yeah.
Because that right there gave him redemption, and he a little bit. I mean, the other girl's dead in his universe, but it was just a very touching moment.
Sure.
Sick fuck. Dude, Jimmy, you gotta, one day you gotta realize I'm your friend and you gotta stop picking on me.
I love you, but it just, I cried once during a superhero movie.
I know you did not.
Yeah.
Oh, you fucking picking on me. You cried.
No, I didn't.
When he's like, come on, Dad. What was it? Come on, Jimmy.
Oh, yeah. I saw that in the movie theater, though. Would Ricky Schroeder crying over John Voight? Of course.
He died, John Voight, in that. Did he die in that?
Yes, he did. He played the Billy something. Jack Warden's like, come on, Billy. Yeah, he played his coach. But I was five when I saw
the
that.
Sequel when then Ricky ended up in an orphanage, right? No, he didn't. But what happened to Ricky after that? We never know.
You don't know. You his have dad to assume.
Died. He's done crying over him. And you leave just sitting there like, oh.
Yeah. I think Faye Dunaway was in that. I forget who the woman was. Was it Jessica Lange or Faye Dunaway? There was a great actress. Let's see who was in The Champ.
Don't look at that. Yeah, from 1978.
73. It was 73. 73? I believe so. Wait.
I think so.
79. I'm sorry. I was 10.
You know, my man. I see you're right. Kid. And I was like 5 years old or something. So it was very depressing.
It was Faye Dunaway. I was right. And Rick Schroeder.
Rick Schroeder.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't make them like that anymore.
Yeah.
Heroes dying like that.
I know. I was crying too because I lost money on that fight.
Jimmy. Didn't he win?
Probably. Yeah, I don't remember. I bet on the other guy.
Jimmy, listen, you should see the Spider-Man No Way Home.
I will, actually.
Because it was. Did you see the other ones?
No, I saw the first one just because I was in it. My favorite one is when Tobey Maguire is walking in part three and he's doing like that cool walk in part three.
Yeah, you were in that?
No, that's my favorite. I was in the first one. But in part three, when Tobey's doing that cool walk, that was my favorite part.
They couponed him for that.
Yeah, I know.
Part three. But it's weird because they did have all those villains. They had Sandman in there and the guy who plays him. What's his name? It was interesting. I liked what they did, you know?
That sounds interesting, yeah. And Alfred Molina, I could watch in anything. I think he's just the best.
I just remembered him from that Boogie Nights.
Yeah, that's why I like him. Yeah, it's Cosmo. He's throwing fucking firecrackers.
What was that about?
It's just some weird homoerotic relationship he had with Cosmo in his underpants, throwing fucking... firecrackers, they're all loud. And Mark Wahlberg and John C. Reilly, and I forget the other actor's name who was with them, but their reactions to the firecrackers was so good. It was such a great scene.
They were trying to rip them off, right?
They did try.
Didn't work out, though, did it?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jimmy. Oh, let's get Dean Thomas in here, man.
Oh, is he here? Awesome.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
There he is, the worst angle possible.
Good evening.
Hold on, man. I'm fixing it up. I'm fixing it right now.
Five podcast, 10, 6, 8, how many podcasts he does a week, and look at the fucking angle we got.
I'm fixing it now.
And look at this. We got a fucking sloppy-ass hotel room. Could you treat this like one of your other gigs, please, and give a shit?
I do all my gigs the same. I don't give a shit about none of them.
That's why he's good at them. No pressure.
I got a lot of praise for your Stephen Smith thing at the MMA Awards.
Oh, yeah. People don't seem to like that. I'm not sure why.
You know what? Listen, congratulations on that. But what I'm upset about is I thought Adam was going to do something for me and you. I didn't even know it was MMA. They don't like me at those MMA Awards.
No, you know what it was?
I never once was invited out there. Not that, you know. I never.
You know what it was? Like, it was – they hit him up, like, really short notice to, like, piece some stuff together.
Well, listen, man.
Because he said he was trying to do something for me and you.
He called me up and he's like, yo, man, we should do something with – and this was the same day. I think it happened right before I seen it. He goes, let's have you and Dean Thomas do, like, the Island Boys. And I'm like, I don't know how that would look. I can't really. Yeah, exactly, Jimmy. And then the same day, I see Michelle Waterson and Holly Holm doing their parody of it. I go, I can't do this now.
Yeah.
I wrote him right. I go, this ain't going to work. He goes, I'll think of something else.
Well, he said he was going to do the Long Island Boys, but I was like, I'm not from Long Island.
It's still funny, though.
That's not going to work. Yeah. But I can't picture me doing that. You know, I don't think it would work. You know what I mean, Dean Thomas?
Well, we was going to do Myrtle and Briggs. Ooh, and Biggs.
Ooh, that could be gold.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I was in Florida a couple weeks ago, and I get a text. It was a Saturday night. It was during the fights, one of the fights you were working. And it was Dana. And he goes, do you see what the fuck Dean is wearing? I go, no, man, I'm at the park. I'm going to go watch it now. He goes, you gotta see this. Then I did see it. And then there's some things that you can't unsee, Dean Thomas. Tell me about your getup. And now, do you do that saying, hey, this is something that they're going to talk about later because this is unusual? Or you do it like, ooh, I'm going to the ball. You like to dress up.
Yeah.
So what were you wearing with that shifting?
Yeah, my outfits are with almost all of them are with the intention for talk about. I want people to talk about them because that's my gimmick, right? Because you know when I'm on there with Alan Joban, he's a good looking guy, former, you know, he just retired. Michael Chiesa, he's still fighting. So I need my thing to separate me from them.
Wow.
What was the outfit, Dean? Because I remember seeing it. I don't remember what it was.
It was, I had on like a turquoise, like a light turquoise jacket.
Turtleneck?
With a turquoise ascot.
That's right.
Dude, listen, I'll find that thing by the time you say Dean Thomas.
Yeah, it was, but you know, sometimes I do things too, but how I pick them, I go, what is somebody else not going to wear?
That.
Yeah, right. I figured no one else would wear that, but who could pull it off?
You did.
I was able to pull it off because I got like a pimp vibe to me.
You and Charles Nelson Reilly are the only two people that can wear an ascot.
You do. You do got a pimp vibe to you, Dean Thomas. I always
think that.
Dean Thomas, have you seen the latest Spider-Man movie, No Way Home?
I have not. I have not seen that, nor have I seen West Side Story, and I'm looking forward to watching both.
Why don't you watch West Side Story? Are you ready? Ready? Yeah. Are you ready?
Yeah. Yes, I'm ready.
When you're rejected all the way.
You're the first living to your last dying day.
Wait, say that.
Your first cigarette.
Yeah, why did you correct him?
Oh, did he not know that? Sorry.
It was close. It was close. I was almost there.
West Side Story stinks.
No, are you kidding me?
You old ladies. West Side Story is terrible.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, we're going to fight in the street and sing and dance. It's terrible.
Officer Klumsky,
you've done it again.
I don't know the words either.
Officer Klumsky, you've done it again.
Yes.
I'd rather hear the song at the end of the Warriors when he's clanking the bottles together. Come out to play. That's better than anything in West Side Story.
No, man. I love West Side Story. You know what actually I watched last night too? Wasn't West Side Story. I looked for that, but it wasn't on. I watched Bugsy Malone. That is a classic. It's a very underrated gangster movie. Bugsy Malone, watch that one.
You're not talking about the one with Scott Baio with the cotton candy.
Oh, that's Happy Days.
Oh. Are you talking about Bugsy Malone with the when they had the Tommy guns that shot off the cream?
Yeah, cream. Yeah,
and it was a Scott Baio. That's horrible.
Scott Baio. No, Scott Baio. Horrible. Jodie Foster. It's a classic.
I remember that, man. Dean Thomas, that was showing our age.
Yeah, I know.
But you should see the new Spider-Man movie.
I know. I'm going to see that. Everybody's talking about it.
It's very emotional. Jimmy, we just had a moment, me and Jimmy, when I was reliving one of the what happened in it. And, you know, Jimmy was goofing on me. It tugs at your heartstrings.
Plus, Tom Holland is in it. And he got hands. You ever seen him box? He got hands.
Was he really?
Yeah.
Where'd you see hands? That?
Look on YouTube. If you look on YouTube of him boxing, he could box a little bit.
Tom, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I promise you.
Well, listen to me. I like him as Spider-Man. I'm a big Spider-Man fan. But Dean Thomas, you don't really go to movies. You just do
No, I try to. Well, I haven't because of COVID, but I try to. I love going to movies.
Man, you're a busy man.
I love going to movies, though, man. Like movies, like going to a movie. And by being by myself and eat popcorn, that is one of life's greatest joys.
Oh, you go alone? You like to go alone?
Yeah, I like to go alone.
Yeah. I did that the other day, man, when I was in Disney Springs. My family was shopping the last day of vacation. I go, look, I've seen Dune before, but I want to see it in the theater because I saw it on HBO Max. Dude, oh, my God. Watch Dune. That's the movie that's one of my fucking favorites. Watch that Dune? In the theater. Dune, Dean.
Is it still out?
Fuck. Unless it's like a fucking snuff film, this little bird, he don't like anything. Anything I say, he's always like, Jimmy.
Yeah.
For a fucking guy who makes people laugh, you're a downer. You don't like anything. You don't like Ozzy Osbourne.
I do like Ozzy Osbourne.
You love Ozzy Osbourne. Yes. But what do you watch? What is your entertainment? You don't like comedies, they're not funny.
I like 90 Day Fiance before the 90 days.
You like stuff like that.
I like First 48, I watch a lot of. I like that show.
People getting shot.
First 48?
It's a really amazing show to watch the break down these. You watch criminals go in there. And every time a criminal goes in, I'm like, just shut up. Don't talk to the cops. You're going to trip. And every time they're like, well, I wasn't there. And 5 minutes later, it was like, I just went over to talk to him. And you're like, you're finished.
I watched that chapter on YouTube. And it's this guy who says a little something. It's like English guy or I don't know, Scottish. I don't know. He has an accent. He has glasses. Like, okay, let's give it a go. And then he talks about the murder. And it's like one of those murder stories. It goes over all like the sick, everything from serial killers to whatever. Just it's like a Dateline thing. But with this guy doing it on YouTube, I love it. It's called that chapter or this chapter.
You're so stupid.
One of those, but boy, I like the real crime stories and shit. I like to watch that like in the morning, like when I'm having my espresso and I got my iPad there, and I don't like to watch it late at night. Yeah, you can get nightmares.
I watched an episode of the First 48 once, and it was just like this old black dude, and he got into a fight, and he started swinging a mop at a guy. And for some reason, I could like relate to this guy. I don't know why, but I could relate to this. This old black man was getting beat up, and he started swinging a mop at another guy, and I was like, damn. But I could really relate to that for some reason.
Swinging the mop?
Yeah. Just like feeling like under attack. So you like using whatever you have to survive. Sure. Yeah, that's It was cool to me.
You're very good, by the way, Dean. When you go in and do your when they have you come in there with the I guess the coach they call, what do they call it? A coach's minute or something?
The coach's role, they really don't have a name for it.
Yeah, it's very good. You always have a good something smart to say, and you always know when to duck back out. You pop in, you make a couple of smart observations, and you fucking hit the door. You know what you're doing.
And that's exactly what I want to do. And everybody asks me, why don't you want to get on a commentary team? Like, those dudes talk too much. All I want to do is go in, say something, sound like I know what I'm talking about, and get the hell out of there.
What did you think about, did you know, for me, the end of the first round with Pena and Amanda, when Amanda was kind of almost being Kimura'd, you knew she was going to have a tougher time for some reason. When did you see that she might be going to have a hard night? Could you tell earlier just from knowing her?
It wasn't at the end of the first. It was in the second round when her shoulders raised up. Because when her shoulders raised up, it showed me that there was some tension in her body. And when was tension in her body, and she started to fight with tension. And she started throwing them heavy punches, and she looked tight. And those punches didn't look good. They didn't look like Amanda Nunez punches. That's when I said, uh-oh, she's in trouble. And then when she started getting hit and her legs got all wobbly, I was like, this girl is in trouble. And it didn't look good. And the old Amanda came out, and this is the Amanda that I know as a person, the one that has a lot of anxiety, the one that doesn't deal with anxiety well. And this is why, like, she gets tired in fights. It's not her conditioning. It's not anything other than the fact that when she gets anxious, her body tightens up and she just wants to get the hell out of there. Almost like a kid's first day of school and don't want to go to school on your first day. And that's an issue that she has.
Shit, I would just stomp my feet and be like, no, I don't want to go. But that's different than what happened to her. Listen, I feel that she just wanted that thing to be over with. Like,
for sure.
Like, that's why everything she threw was like, I'm going to get you out of here now. And then when she was still in front of her, jabbing her in the face and then actually getting that clinch and getting her down. People are like, oh, how could you? This is the untrained people or the people that just roll jujitsu and they never been in a real fight. They're like, how could she even tap to that? How could she tap? It's like, dude, she was exhausted. She was, it's not like she was about to go to sleep. Like, I think she was just like, all right, fuck
it. Yeah, the choke didn't even look like it was in fully. It was more so just get me out of here. Like, I'm done. I want to go home. That's really what it was. That was her anxiety talking to her. Her anxiety crept up on her and was like, get me the hell out of this situation. I'm scared. Take me back to mommy. That's what that was. It wasn't, and again, like, that's an issue that I think she had in her career before, but she got over that and it crept back up on her against Juliana Pena.
Interesting, because her face looked different. Like, watching her, you're right. Cause I don't make the observations you guys do. I don't see a fight with the same precision you do. But just as an untrained eye, watching her face, she didn't look like the same Amanda in the face. Even she just looked uncomfortable. I couldn't place why, but what you're saying makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, Jimmy, think about it. Like, your first time doing comedy was probably like, I don't know your personality in terms of like how you grew up, but like your first time on stage, you're like, oh my God, this feels like your heart's beating. You can't get the jokes out. You're different. And just because you fight doesn't mean that like you're going to be able to deal with that better. Some people deal with it better than others. Sure. But we assume that because you're a fighter, that it's just easy to deal with. But some people still don't manage it well.
Right.
And if you don't train it consistently, you lose it. And I think that's what happened is that, she's not a gym rat. Like she's not in the gym all the time. She does train four fights, but she's not in the gym all the time. These things aren't natural for her. So when that fight happened and she got that pressure and that stress hit her, she was like, yo, get me the hell out of here.
Well, listen, let's talk about.
Yes.
What is it? Fight of the
I think we're talking about fight of the year. We've this last episode and this episode, we've gone over a couple of like monumental things from the year, the best of this. And here's a couple of fight of the year contenders, Dina. McGregor 2 against Poirier, Riddell, Drew Dober, Ponzinibbio against Baeza, Sanhagen, Dillashaw, Volkanovski, Ortega, Gaethje, Chandler, Rodriguez, Holloway. There's a lot of really good options here. Unless there's one that's not on that list.
No. I like all those. However, the one that stands out to me is Chandler Gaethje.
Yeah.
I think to me that was the best fight of the year. All the other ones were good. But that fight had everything you can ask for other than a finish. But it didn't need it because, like, the storylines, the back and forth, the almost getting knocked out. I mean, it was just so good and entertaining and dramatic in moments that to me, that was the best fight of the year.
Volkanovski Ortega was pretty amazing, too. Volkanovski surviving. What round? Was it the third round when Ortega was in deep on a choke?
I think it was the fourth.
Was it the fourth round?
Yeah.
Everybody knew Volkanovski, how good he was, but I think that cemented him in everybody's mind. Like, yeah, the fights with Holloway were a little questionable, but I mean, to survive that and then go on to win, very impressive.
Yeah, I thought about that being like the fight of the year, but to me, without those two moments in the fourth round, to me, it was a bit one-sided. Like, I thought that Volkanovski just beat him up, and it was one-sided. But for him to escape those, which made it more dramatic. But other than that, I thought it was more one-sided. With the Gaethje and Chandler fight, I thought it was so close. And both guys at times were, like, almost done. That's why, to me, that was – like, even Ponzinibbio and Miguel Beza, that, to me, was another good fight. That was a dog fight. That, to me, was probably even better to me than the fight with Volkanovski and
Ortega.
Ortega, yeah.
There's fights that, obviously, the fights that we're talking about, all of them, they're barn burners. And when they're happening, you're invested and you're like, oh, what's going to happen next round? And that's what makes them, makes them so great. And that's why they're on this list. But I'm going a little deeper. It's not that it had the most action, even though it did, but everything going into it, everything that was at stake about the redemption factor. And that's the Dustin Poirier versus Conor McGregor too. I mean, Dustin got smoked the first fight. It wasn't a very competitive fight. He got knocked out in the first round. And to come back and to beat him the way he did after taking a couple of shots, people, and you got to understand, look at when he did it. Conor was looking pretty much unstoppable. I know he had that fight with Habib, but besides that, he came back and he did what he did with Cowboy Cerrone, and he looked great. And everybody said, "Oh my God, that's the Conor that fought Eddie Alvarez. Look at him, and he's amazing." And then he's fighting a guy that he beat. When they first made the fight, they were actually like, "Ah, well, he already beat him." And now look, they put Dustin back in the limelight because he had to. He had to beat a guy that stopped him in brutal fashion, and he did it in brutal fashion the way he ended it, and it was the way it was good. Even that first round when he was getting tagged, and all of a sudden he did a counter back and he pointed at him like, "Hey, look, you know I know how to box too." It was something else. And even though those other fights, I was invested when I was watching them, and there was so many good moments. Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, "Oh yeah, this and that." But that other fight was, I don't know when that fight was with Poirier and
in January.
Hey, look, man. So, I mean, it was almost a year ago, and I still have vivid memories of the stuff that went down in that fight because of all the history with it. So, I don't know, man. I think that fight was the one that stood out the most to me. So, I'm going to call that my fight of the year.
I'm going to take Gaethje Chandler. I mean, that was just such a back and forth. Punishing fight, and they were both so damaged at the end of it. For me, that's just the one I enjoyed the most, I think. But there's so many great fights.
Yeah, Matt, what you're saying about the Poirier McGregor fight, the second one? Yeah, I almost agree with you. Like, that was almost my fight of the year, and it was almost my moment of the year as well, because there was so much involved in that, so much at stake. And you're right, Conor was looking good up until the point where he was getting beat. I mean, his hands were looking good. He was looking sharp boxing. He was touching Dustin up. But as soon as Dustin made that adjustment and turned it around, and it happened so fast, it was like, wait, what just happened? And then when he knocked him out, you're thinking like, oh, my God. I mean, that was a great, great moment of the year. To me, it was almost my moment of the year, and I can see why it would be your fight of the year, because there was a lot at stake and so much emotion and connection to everybody else in that fight with both fighters.
And not to switch gears here, but wait, Jimmy. Oh yeah, Jimmy, you picked Gaethje and Chandler.
Chandler, yeah.
You got to feel for Angela Hill a little bit.
Oh,
she's on the wrong. You don't want to say the wrong, because listen, when fights are close, I get it, but it just seems like she's on the short end of the stick.
She can't get a break.
Short end of the stick. Like, where it's like, man, really, like, I really think she, you really think she lost this fight? Like, what are you looking at really? Like, I don't get it. Like, I don't know why, like, cause she's really looking great. Like in these fights that she's losing is really razor thin or just downright wrong. So I don't know, man. I always like to see a fight, and it looks like she's getting, even though she's losing some of these decisions, I think she's looking better and better every time she fights.
Yeah, I don't, man, I have no idea why she's losing these decisions. Like, you look back at them and you go, what is she doing in her body language that's not allowing the judges to favor her? It's got to be something in the body language. Maybe it's, you know, she moves her feet too much and they think she's trying to be too flashy and they don't like that. But there's something that she's doing that judges consistently don't like that's not allowing her to get these rounds.
Yeah.
And that's something that she has to look at. But I don't get it either. There's like, how in the hell can she be going on this run of losing split decision after split decision after split decision in which everybody else, most fighters, thinks that she's winning?
Yeah. You got me, man. I don't know, but I just wanted to give her some love because, you know, we're big fans. And, you know, listen, the people know what they're watching. You know what I mean?
They're, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, what is she doing in here? Keep losing. No, dude, she's getting a tough time with the judges, what she's having.
Yeah, six fights in a row have been decisions, and of the four of them have been losses, and three of those four have been split decision losses.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Hey, Dean, what are you doing for the holidays, man?
Man, I'm not doing anything. I'm trying. Actually, you know what? I might try to come to New York.
Why would you go to New York?
I don't know, man. Like, I just because I don't really have nothing else to do. Like, there's nothing to do. Like, there's no shows. There's no fights. There's everything is like in transition. So I'm just going to try to enjoy myself and chill out and just maybe travel a little bit.
Well, if you're in New York, let me know, because I'll be in New York for part of it. I'm going to see my family. So it'll be great to see you if you happen to be in the city.
Yeah, I will. You know, I like to travel. It's cold up there now, too. And Florida's still hot. So I want to experience some cold air for a little bit before
everybody gets all bummed out with the cold weather. I don't mind it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like Jimmy, like sometimes he breaks out in a song. He goes, Matt, seasons change. People change. I go, Jimmy, that's enough. I get it.
No. He likes when I do it. He likes when I do it if I oil up my bosoms while I'm doing it.
when you're singing them songs?
Yeah. I put baby oil on my bosoms, Matt.
Gross. Guys, listen to me. It's been a hell of a year.
Yes.
I think this is goodbye. Been. Wait, JD, what do you want to plug, man?
Yeah.
Plug some shit, Dean Thomas. Plug one of your 50 gigs that you have going.
I don't know. Like I said, everything is slowed down right now. So, everything is slow.
We shot an episode of Looking for a Fight. It's yet to air, but who knows when that's going to air. But I hope it airs soon.
And yeah, we shot that one. That's it.
We're shooting another one in February. Just, you know.
Yeah. I can't wait.
Oh.
I can't wait to that one. Dude, I know some of the stuff we're doing, and I'm just telling you, I don't think that you're going to like it.
Why does he do that? Now he's being a bully.
I'm teasing. Hey, speaking of bullies.
Do you know what it is?
I know one of the things that we're going to be doing.
Tell me later. I want to know.
But I will tell you this, though. Why you let my little cousin do backflips on your Instagram page?
Now, first of all, I gave a blue belt to young Marcus. And he is everybody love. This kid is such a good kid. And if you look on my Instagram, that was this morning at the 7 a.m. class. And he's a kid that he's there. He's there more than me. He's always at the school. He's got his little brothers there. He's such a good kid. Everybody loves young Marcus. And he goes into all the local tournaments and he takes road trips to do a tournament. So he's been depressing a lot of blue belts and higher. So I gave you Marcus. It's not Dean's brother, but it does look like a young Dean Thomas. he's doing the bat. He's so happy he's doing bat.
He's my little cousin. Like my little cousin out there. So excited.
He's a good man. You're going to meet him one day when you come out. He's one of my favorite people. But Jimmy.
I got gigs. February 17th, New Hampshire, the 18th, two shows at the Wilbur in Boston, early shows almost sold out. And the, 19th, I'll be at Foxwoods Casino in Connecticut. And, Dean, have a great holiday, Matt. Always. I'll probably talk to you over the course of the weekend.
Maybe it's the holidays. Right now, I'm looking at you and I'm picturing you in a little elf outfit with that little like Rice Krispie hat, that little thing on like this.
I'm going to be perched in a tree.
You just hopping around. Like,
I picture Jimmy dressed like the Grinch with just a Santa jacket, no pants, and the hat.
Well, you're both right.
Jimmy, listen to me, Jimmy. We're going to have such... I'm looking forward to another year of seeing you twice a week. Who knows? Maybe we'll bump it up to three times a week. You never know. We could only make a little wish.
Oh, no, we know.
Holiday
I was
wish.
Thinking of going down to once a week.
Everybody, on behalf of UFC Unfiltered, happy, happy, merry, merry. Listen.
Merry, merry.
What?
Yeah, we'll see you soon, a week or so.
Bye, everyone.
All right, have a great holiday, guys.
Worst goodbye ever.
No, it was phenomenal.
Peace.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.